What was it that stopped the train that day? Signal problems, wet leaves, a body on the tracks? The specifics didn't matter then, and they sure don't matter now. All that mattered, back on that damp August morning in the summer of 2015, was that the train was running late, again. Which meant I'd be an hour, maybe two, maybe three late to work, again. Which meant I'd be staying late and not getting home until well after the kids had gone to bed, again. I was well into my second year writing for the Washington Post, a dream job by any measure. With a beat that amounted to data writ large, I had wide latitude in selecting topics that interested me. Bear attacks, for instance. The geography of jorts, boats that can be parked inside other larger boats. My professional life, in short, was grand, except for one teeny tiny problem. The Washington Post is based in Washington, D.C. My wife, Brianna, and I, along with our two-year-old twins, Jack and Charles, lived just outside of Baltimore. Between our home and the Post newsroom lay 90 to 120 minutes of commute by car, train, subway, and foot, on a good day. That damp August morning, not shaping up to be a good day. When the train finally arrived, we all grumbled on. I did my best to avoid even glancing at my fellow commuters. I was never much of a people person, and chatting it up with a chipper stranger on a train before coffee seemed like the absolute worst way to spend that time. Some mornings, I absentmindedly scrolled through my phone, searching social media for grist for the day's stories. Others, I slept. Most of all, I tried not to think of how much of my life I was spending there on the tracks, in cramped quarters, surrounded by strangers. That morning, the train limped down the tracks toward D.C., much slower than usual. Eventually, the train stopped, for good, about halfway to D.C., at the Bowie State University platform. There was a slight drizzle. The conductor came over the loudspeaker to inform us that the train was unable to go any further and that they had no additional information at this time. I decided to bail, hopping off the train and calling an Uber. If I ever wanted to see my family or my job again, the best bet appeared to be to cut my losses, head back to Baltimore, and salvage whatever was left of the workday at home. Between the surge pricing and the distances involved, the ride cost $100. Finally, 4 hours after the start of my commute, I pulled my car back into the parking space at my house, right back where I had started. I'm far from the only person to live like this. According to census data, roughly 4 million American workers, representing about 3% of the total 16 and over workforce, have one-way commutes of 90 minutes or more. It's probably easiest for me to explain why I did, because my wife and I couldn't afford to do anything else, at least not if we were going to have our own place. According to Zillow, the median home value in Washington, D.C. is now somewhere north of $500,000, which was well out of the realm of affordability for Brianna, then a government worker, and me. Total annual time spent commuting. Average American worker, 9.3 full calendar days. Me, in 2015, 31.3 full calendar days. Neither one of us came from money. I was born and raised in the village of Oneonta, an upstate New York college town of about 13,000 people, situated in a kind of geographic no man's land between the Catskills and the Adirondacks. The region was hilly but not mountainous, populated but not populous. To the extent the town had anything like a civic identity, it was based on its adjacency to Cooperstown, home of the Baseball Hall of Fame.